Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I'm going to pray, and I have some things on my heart this morning that I want to share with you. Before I even pray, I want to encourage you that when we have an opportunity to worship, engage your heart. Worship isn't just in the head, okay? Or just trying to get into the good song. Worship is about expressing your heart unto Him. Everything about your relationship with God is personal. It should be. And that's what we're going to be even talking about today, about His Word and how personal we need to have that relationship active in our life each and every day. How powerful God's Word is in our life if we'll activate it in our life. Many of you in this room, all of you in this room are called to lead. You're going to be a leader. Maybe it's only of a few. Maybe it's many. But you're all called to lead. And God wants you to lead out by knowing His Word and allowing His Word to have its way in you. We've been talking about this a lot over the last few weeks, that in Ezekiel 3, 1 through 3, it says, God says to Ezekiel, says, "Son of man, take this scroll and eat it." And he said it was sweet, and he ate it, and it went down into his stomach, and it went out into every aspect of his being. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is light. The Word of God is so necessary to have in our life. And if we don't have the Word of the Lord in our life, if we don't meditate on the Word, if it's not part of the light onto our feet, then we're going to begin to shrink away from the things that God's called us to. We can get so busy. How many are busy? Everybody can get really, really busy with family and work and everything else that we're doing. And the fact is, if we would forsake that time in the Word, then that personal intimacy, that power that's found in the Word of God would begin to slip through our fingers because we don't spend time in the Word each and every day. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but I want you to really think, how much are you in the Word of God? Do you know how to even address the Word of God, to allow it to speak to you? Where do I begin? What do I read? And if you're not in the Word of the Lord, then it's hard to express and have the power of God's heart expressed through the living Word to enlighten your path and give you hope. I don't know about you, but I've sat many times in the place of being desperate. I've sat in the place of hopelessness. I've sat in the place where I didn't think I was going to make it another day. And I was overwhelmed. I've sat in the place where anxiety almost took me out. But it was because of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That Word gave me hope, and it gave me light, and it gave me direction. And so even part of our spiritual family here at Voice and through this region, part of our vision, personal and corporately, is to be intimate with the Lord and know His Word and allow His Word to have His way in our life. So I'm going to be speaking about that because His Word will push out darkness. And without His Word, darkness will have access. I believe that. Who's the living Word? Who's the living Word? Jesus is the living Word. Most of us know John chapter 1 says the Word became flesh and walked in our midst. Jesus is the real deal. And I don't know about you, but whether it's just with a few people or many people, it doesn't really matter. I just want to be in love. I want to be excited. I want to dwell in His presence. I want His Word to apprehend me. I want it to overwhelm me. I want to be joyful. And I want to move in the place of who I'm called to be, because this is why I live. This is the reason that we exist. And maybe you don't know this. Maybe you do. But the reason we exist is to have this personal relationship with the living God in His living Word. That's why we exist. We have no other reason. Life does not make sense unless you know the living Word of God. And soon as you come back into it, it begins to make sense in your life. And oh, that's why. And that's why I want to express it this morning. Whether you minister here or minister somewhere else, whether you call this your home, whether you're headed in a different direction. I already met a young man this morning that's headed to IHOP in Kansas City. All of us are headed in different directions. But if Jesus, the personal Jesus, isn't active on a daily basis in our lives, it hurts, man. It hurts when he's not active, when I don't give him time, and things don't make sense to me. They don't make sense to me. The enemy is after us and after our children. And if we don't allow this living word to have its way, darkness will creep in. Darkness will try to make us be shameful. Some of us in this room are suffering from addictions and are addicted. And maybe we're living in denial. And God says, I want to break in. I want to free you from that. I want to renew your mind. I want to establish your heart. And I want you to get back to your vision that I've called you to. Folks, no matter what anybody tells you, and I know I'm talking to the choir, many of you, I know that. And I, you know, some of you are shaking your head, yes, and some of you are wondering, you know, what's wrong with him? It's okay. But I've come to a conclusion. And my conclusion is that if I don't have this relationship daily, then I'm going to miss it. If I allow busyness of ministry, of people, my own slothfulness, to allow myself to get away from a daily devotion and hearing the voice of God, then darkness will creep in. It's done that before in my life. I think of King David. I was reading about him the other day. I don't know the fullness of the story, but I do know this, that when he was in that place of devotion with God and meditating on God, and God was a big part of his life, it seemed like things were just, man, they were just going great, and he was overcoming so much in his life, and the armies were victorious. And then when he began to get a little bit lax of just laying back in his destiny and calling, and things got a little bit easy, all of a sudden lust entered into his life. And it was because, I believe, biblically I can speak this a little bit, but I believe that he began to let his guard down and no longer was he dwelling on the things of the Lord the way he did when he was so hungry and thirsty for him. I don't know about you, but if I'm not thirsty, if I'm not hungry, according to the living God and his word, something's wrong with me. Because our God, with the amount of love that he has for us and the truth that he has for us and the victory that he has for us and the life that he has for us, it should be an exciting time. We get to come into this room and have a worship team up here. And we have a choice. Are we going to enter in with our heart? Or are we just going to try to make it through church and go on and get back to life? I don't know about you, but I don't want to get back to life. I want to stay in the environment of worship and in the environment of God's word in my life. Because I realize if it's not happening, then my children are going to see something completely different than what they should see. My son Robert, yesterday, part of his one of his core classes in college was to take a team and go to all different types of denominations and churches and religions to visit. And it was part of just to expose them to different theologies and things that they would go to. And so they were going to all these churches. He was telling me, and he said, Dad, today we're going to a synagogue. Today we're going to a Mennonite church. Today We're going to go to a mosque. We're going to end at a mosque. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, let me know how that goes. Because I wanted to know. And he called me. And when he called me on the phone, he said, I got to tell you, this guy that stood up in the mosque, he was so convincing about their religion. And he used to be a Christian, but he converted to Islam. So his testimony was even more striking. And he said he had everything nailed down. He told me the things that he said. And of course, you know, they were challenging him and asking him some questions. And he seemed to have an answer for every question. And I said, well, Robert, I said, let me just ask you one thing. Who did they say that Jesus was? They said he was a prophet. So let me get this straight. They didn't say he was the Son of God. He was the King of Glory. They didn't say that he was the Messiah. No. And I said, absolutely. I said, right there, we're done. Because the overriding factor that we're going to be up against in these days and the days ahead is, who do you say Jesus is? And if we don't have that down, if we don't know him, and that's why the living word has to be so active in our lives. We've got to have it in our lives because you don't know what you're going to encounter. I'll be honest. I should be, being pastor up here. If you don't have him in your life on a daily basis, then you're going to live in some confusion. Because things are coming hard after the church and after believers. And so we've got to be devoted. We've got to be devoted. A simplistic devotion to Christ cannot be forsaken in any way or shape or form in our lives. We've got to be devoted to him. Let's just have a word of prayer real quick. Lord Jesus, I just come before you and I ask for your intercession for every man and woman in this place. I ask for healing. I ask that you would raise up fiery messengers out of this house right here. You've already done it in the past. You're doing it now to send them out, God, to proclaim your goodness and your mercy and who you are. I ask, God, that personal visions would be renewed today. I ask, God, that a vision even for this spiritual family would begin to arise again, Lord, as you've called us to be intimate with you, to know you, and to walk in your ways. I ask Holy Spirit to breathe on this message today to encourage every man and woman in this place, young and old. I ask that at the end, God, as we pray for healing for little Ada and others that need healing, Priscilla, others, God, Denny, all of us, God, we ask that you would show up in a powerful way and that you would heal and bring healing, that the power of your word would go forth. We thank you, God, for this opportunity. Let us experience the power of your word. Let us, our hearts, experience deliverance and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we call on your name and only your name above every other name. Amen? Amen. Let's just shout Jesus one time. One, two, three.
Jesus. Yeah.
See, now that feels good, doesn't it? All right. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 27, verse 4. We want to stay committed. We want to stay alive. We want to stay in his word. His word is living. Psalm 27, verse 4. I'm going to start with that psalm because that's part of the vision of who we are as a spiritual family. It's very simplistic, but it's huge. We need to regain that intimacy if we've lost it. If we have not been praying with our wives and husbands and our children, we need to regain that and begin prayer happening far more in our homes. We need to seek him. No matter what, we need to dwell in his presence. The three things that I'm going to deal with today as I have time in the next 20, 30 minutes is to deal with the areas of deliverance from darkness, to deal with the area of strength in our hearts in the Word of God, that our hearts would be strengthened, that our hearts would be, they would be revived to walk in the fullness of what God has. And then the last thing I want to touch on is that God would fill us with hope through His holy Word, that we'd feed on it and we'd let the Lord and His presence have its way. So Psalm 27:4, this is a well-known psalm. We've had this banner up at Voice for a long time. We had it at the Horizon Center. We don't have it up now. We need to find room for it. It says one thing. This is David when David's on it. This is when he's moving forward. He said, one thing I have desired. I want you to look at the word desired. He had a desire. You have to ask yourself the question, do you have a desire? Is your desire still hot? Is it still flaming, or have you backed off? But he said, one thing, I have a desire of the Lord. And then he says this, that I will seek. He uses that word seek. I'm going to seek this out. I'm going to seek Him out, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And look at this next one. And to inquire in His word and meditate upon His word in His holy house, in His temple. It's simplistic. But that's what I want to encourage all of you and myself today, is do not forsake this simplistic devotion you have on a daily basis with God. And if you don't have that, that this would be a day that you would turn. No job should take priority over that time of being before the Lord. Amen? Nothing should take that priority. And I want to also encourage you, don't be religious about your time with God. I say that in kind of a fun way, because sometimes we get religious. Are you the kind of person that has to have this, 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 and this, and you got a certain time, okay, to be with God, and once you get through that scripture, it's on to the next chapter? I'm the only one that's like that, right? So you've never been like that. So sometimes when you get into that devotion with God, and you're going through His word, and all of a sudden, guess what happens? God speaks. He moves. He says something. And you're going, oh, wait a minute, I got to finish. No! No, this whole thing about devotion, this whole thing about being before the Lord is encountering God and hearing His voice. And then the living word arises within you and it shocks your heart and it speaks to your heart. And you know it's God. You know it's God. And you go, yes. And that living word begins to impact your life for that day, for that week, for the next month. And it directs you. I want you to press into the Word of God and hear His voice. How many have been in that place where your heart has been overwhelmed by God? And all of a sudden you're going, oh, it's living, it's active. And it begins to speak to you. You begin to weep, you begin to cry. No gift, or maybe influence can take away from simplistic devotion to Jesus. Many times some people have a gift, and so they're able to walk their life out and not have that simplistic time with God, because just their anointing or their calling will get them through. None of us should try to just get through. All of us should eat the scroll, eat the Word of God, devour it, and let it have its way in our life. Amen? When we're in the Word of God, we seek to get closer to Him. We allow Him to begin to answer questions. We approach Him and approach His Word to receive understanding for any situation in your life. It's found in the Scripture. God will lead you to it. He'll guide you to it. Let His Word have its way. Listen to this verse in John 6:63. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. Listen, it's the Spirit that gives life. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are what? Life. So the Word of God is life to me. It's life to you. You can be with somebody just for a little bit and you can begin to know if the Word of God is having an impact within their life. They'll talk about everything but the Word, or they'll talk about something and all of a sudden the Word has influenced them in a way, and they'll speak about the Word and how it influenced them in this place. You can hear somebody with an opinion that is an opinion from their mind, but they haven't really taken it in a place of devotion and allowed the Lord to sanctify it, to set it where it needs to be. So now that opinion isn't just an opinion, but it's a renewed truth of God. And now you can speak something out that you had a thought about. But a lot of people will just have an opinion. You follow me on this? A lot of us just have opinions that aren't influenced by the Word. The Word has to be the influence of everything that we do and say. If we're going to leave or go somewhere or minister somewhere, we want the Word of God to direct our path in that area. We don't want to just take off and move somewhere. Don't do that unless God tells you. And if God tells you, you better go. You better go. Okay, I could get off on this. Oh, I just love this. God's personal words to me has saved my life. It's probably saved your life also. Psalm 119, 25, it says, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word." Revive me according to your word. Man, I'm not doing good. Go before the Lord. Say, "Lord, revive me according to your word. Let the word sustain me. Let the word sustain me in all that I do and all that I say." And again, if you don't grab hold of this, then we just kind of wander sometimes. And God wants us to have his word in our lives. Don't have an approach, again, that, you know, it's a set time. Have the approach that God can do anything he wants to do. Romans 12:2, this is a favorite verse around here. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." By the renewing of your mind. When God speaks truth, when he just says a little thing, it can begin to transform people. That he loves you, that you're good, that he receives you. You can read the word, and it begins to activate in your life. And all of a sudden, you're reading in the Spirit, and it says something. And God renews your mind, and it strengthens you. You know, you just can't say, "Okay, I'm going to read the word, and then my mind's going to be renewed." No, you read the word, and the Holy Spirit breathes on it, and the revelation comes to you and renews your mind and renews your heart. You guys get that? We've been all about that for years. Are you guys happy? Good. I want to make sure, unless you're just intense or like, "Oh my gosh, it's still snowing. I don't know." I mean, we're in trouble. This morning I was coming in. We're in trouble. I looked at the dashboard and it said 21 degrees. And I thought, "Oh, it's warming up." I mean, I thought to myself, "That's bad, man." Because it was -8 the last time I looked at it. It's warming up. It's 21. Heat wave. Never mind. Don't get me singing that. John 5:39-40. I'm going to just keep throwing a bunch of scripture out at you. This is when Jesus was speaking. He says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You are not willing to come to me." You're not willing to dialogue with me. You're not willing to hear my voice. You're not willing to come to me that you may have life. That's a very powerful scripture. Christianity is all about personally relating to God. Christianity is all about personally relating to Jesus on a day in and day out basis. And that's why we have to be in his word. It sustains us. It delivers us from darkness. I remember a real dark time in my life. And this morning I was thinking about it. And I remember I was just riddled with anxiety and with fear. And didn't know what was going to go on and what was going to happen. And I remember I finally got a little apartment, you know, and I was staying in that apartment. And I remember that I knew that if I kept listening to the word of God, I knew that God was going to see me through, that I was going to get to the other side of this dark place in my life. And I remember taking the Bible, even going to sleep at night, and I would read the Bible until I got tired, and I would lay it on my chest, and I would wake up, and the Bible would be on my chest. Because I knew, I had enough sense to know that it was the word of God that was going to direct me and help me and sustain me and lead me out of that place of bondage, that place of darkness. And that's why we cannot forsake the word of God. We've got to have it in our lives on a daily basis, each and every day, feeding on God's word. Because when you feed on his word, you encounter his presence. Okay. All right. Number one, if you want to write this down, you can. One of the reasons why we want to be in his word is because we know that darkness trembles at the word of God. We know that when we quote the word of the Lord, there's power in it. We know that we can overcome darkness by quoting that. We can get deliverance from the word of, with the word of God in our hearts and in our minds as we speak it forth. And so this verse is John 12:46. It says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." The word of God is a light, and as we abide in it, the darkness has to flee. And if we don't allow that word to have its way, again, we can get into a place of deep human reasoning and opinion. So let the Word of God come, and don't allow that darkness to have its way, because when it comes, you just feel helpless. You just feel like there's no way out. But God's Word will show you a way out. And we can relate to that. We know that. Many of you probably in this room have had the power of the Word of God strike your heart through the breath of the Holy Spirit and all of a sudden go, oh, that's the answer. If you're living without the Word of God, if I'm living without the Word of God, oh, woe is me. The Word has to direct us. It has to be part of our lives. It can't be a history book, man. It can't just be something. It can't be. If it's boring to you, then you have to ask God, breathe on this word, Lord. Let this word captivate my life. Let me speak up in high school. Let me not be a wimp and walk away when somebody starts talking about Jesus or against him. Let me stand as a fiery man or a fiery young woman for God, because the word is in me and it's breathing in me. And we're not running from it, but we're saying yes. It's time not to shrink back. It's too late in the season. God wants you to know the word. He wants you to be bold in his word. He wants you to stand anywhere, any place, toe to toe. It doesn't matter with who. And in love, proclaim the goodness of his word and who he is. This is what we're faced with. This is who we are. As a body of believers, as the church of Jesus Christ, we will become closer and closer and closer as the days begin to unveil the destiny of those who don't know Christ. We got to stand with him, guys. We got to stand with him. We got to proclaim him. Right now, God's moving in our region. We've been praying for years for God to do that. Be excited about what God's doing. Don't look for a way out. Look for a way in to be more effective. What if I just said, okay, we're done, man. Let's go minister. All of us, let's go minister. We're going out into the mall. We're going out. Let's go. We want to do that. We have people in here that want to train again and get people out evangelizing so that we can just say, hey, we're ready. Let's go. I'm not called to that. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That was the mandate. That was like the last thing that he wanted to make sure that we got. So we got to do it. I would just like to just be before God. But you know what? When you get something, you got to be ready. I want to just share a little bit. The other day, I was here and I had an opportunity to pray with a mom and her son. And it was a beautiful thing. And I quite didn't get, I thought she was looking for a team to come in and hear a team that was worshiping. And she said, no, we just need prayer. I said, oh, I can do that. You know, she says, yeah, I remember you. You know, anyway, I won't go there. It was a good place. It was in church. And so we go and we pray. And God just shows up in a little beautiful way and says a little word, because we prayed and we knew that freedom was beginning to break through. That's why this house of prayer has to be established. It's not a boring place. It's not a place just to come every once in a while. Men and women are going to walk off the streets and want to be in the midst of where people are praying. And they're going to want to be prayed for. And so one of God's definitely visions for this ministry is to establish this burning house of prayer for his glory and for his honor. And we're putting our hands back to that again, because it's part of our spiritual family. It's part of who we are. And so that people can come in any time and receive prayer. There's prayer. Many of you are prayer warriors. I've heard you guys pray. When we did the 21-day fasting and prayer, and we had the three times a day, I heard people pray I'd never heard pray before, and it was amazing what came out of their mouths just because they said yes. I want to be a soldier of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to be a soldier. I think of the Spear family. all that they've went through with Ada and all the children. And how many of you in this room have been encouraged when you see all of a sudden Ange has gotten just fed up and she just takes the word of God and starts firing it out through Facebook and you're going, yes! Has anybody been encouraged by that? That's who we are. That's who we need to be continuously. Okay. I think Jerry Reeder bought me a soapbox when I turned 50. I'm turning 60 this year. I don't know what I'm going to get. You know, Jerry Reeder, 78 years old, and he's in the Himalayas, and he's preaching the gospel on his 78th birthday. Hallelujah. The word of God, we're supposed to encourage each other all the time. All the time about good works and things that God's doing. Not about, oh, well, I got this and I got that. No, always getting together and encouraging each other. Sometimes I think it's just almost we feel like, you know, it's just weird to encourage somebody. We need to be encouraging all the time. All the time. You mind? Go ahead. All right. My sister's here. She had a meeting with Londa this week. And the Lord showed up and spoke some things. And she got a yes in her heart again. That she can go again. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It does not matter. Because God will meet you right in the midst of where you are. And give you a yes in your heart again. And maybe this is the time. This is the time. To go forward. We've all compromised. We all have. We've all messed up. That's why there's mercy and grace. But that mercy and grace is not there for us to stay there. That mercy and grace is for us to get our feet underneath us, to get devoted to the Word of God and allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to manifest itself in us and to proclaim the goodness of who He is and who we are in Him. I don't like a boring church. I don't like a boring service. I don't like boring worship. I like to be fiery about the things of God. That's why I play the drums. I love the drums. The drums is a warring instrument. That's why the enemy's tried to keep it down for so many years. And when the drums begin to happen, the prophetic begins to flow. People begin to dance, begin to move. People are dancing. I know some of you may be here for the first time and you see a few people doing like weird things and stuff and you're going, oh, it can be distracting. Don't get your eyes on them. Get your eyes on the Lord and let your heart be engaged. And this Jesus that you met, this Jesus that is for you, let Him have His way. And just say, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going back to old ways. Husbands, wives, single parents, you got to say, it's over. I got to live for God. I got to have God live through me. I got to not forsake my simplistic devotion to the Lord on a daily basis. That's what this is about today. Simplistic devotion. Do you have that? He will encourage you to encourage others. It will push back the darkness. When the presence of the Word begins to manifest. Now this is taking something to really an extreme level. And I want to share this scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 9. And of course this is Saul. When he's on the road to Damascus. And he has an encounter with what? The light. He has an encounter with what? The voice. The Word. He has an encounter. Of course this is high level. And here Saul is. And if you want to really look at Saul for what he was terrorizing. He was a terrorist. Really was. When we see this stuff going on today, he was about getting Christians to stop speaking. He was about getting Christians killed. He was about making sure that this Jesus was not going to be preached. He was terrorizing people. And people were fearful of him. And so it says, as he saw to be Paul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus. I am Yeshua. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, What do you want me to do? Now that is an encounter with the living word. That is a powerful encounter. What do you want me to do? And verse 7 it says, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless. They were speechless. But here you have Paul, who is somewhat of a terrorist and creating fear in the Christians and wanting them dead. He has an encounter with the living word. And so how long do you think that encounter was? Maybe 10, 15 minutes, maybe 20, maybe 5. But in 10, 15 minutes with the living word, he comes to the point and says, what do you want me to do? And this man, Saul, who becomes Paul, he goes on to write like 13 books in the New Testament because he had an encounter with the living word. He heard the voice. He saw the light. That was huge to me. Huge. Matthew 8:16. It says, they brought to him, this is when they brought him to Jesus, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word. With a word. And he healed all who were sick. In Matthew 8:28 and 32, it says that he met two demon-possessed men. They were coming out of the tombs. These guys were so bad that the people just avoided even going close to them because they heard all about them. And so they were exceedingly fierce, the scripture says, so that no one could pass by that way. And suddenly they cried out saying, what have you to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? And he said to them, here's the word, go. In power and authority, go. And they went. It was over. The word of God is powerful. The more you meditate on it, the more you're going to understand it. The more that you don't forsake your simplistic devotion to Christ, as Paul said in Corinthians to them. Don't get so busy that you allow this simplistic devotion of being before the Lord in prayer. Are you doing that? Are you so busy because you got to make the money? And you forsake your simplistic devotion? I'll pick on Michael. He's okay with that. Michael is an anointed worship leader. But if he doesn't get in the closet in the Word of God, and the Word of God doesn't flow through him, then he's just going to use his gift to get where he needs to go. But he's not going to enjoy it, just like me, just like many of you out there. You're not going to enjoy it unless the Word is living out through you and coming through you. Right, Michael? We've talked about that. You got to have it. John 8:12, it says, I am the light of the world. Who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So that I have a devotion so the light can break through. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, my word, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Of course, John 3:16, we know that one. John 7, it says this, Jesus stood and cried out, if anyone thirsts for life, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow living water. It will flow rivers of living water out of you. Amen. So that's what a devotion does. A devotion begins to contend with any darkness that's trying to work its way into you. Maybe you even have memories of where you got too busy before and you were doing real good with God. Then all of a sudden you were in a bad place and you're going, how did I get here? Because all of a sudden you were forsaking that simplistic devotion of the Word of God day in and day out in your life. And before you know it, boom, there it is. And you're going, how did we get here? Well, God can get you out of that. The other thing, number two, that I want to hit is our hearts burn in the presence of His Word. When we're really in the Word of God, our hearts will begin to burn. How many want to have burning hearts in here in the Word of God? All of us, we want to have those burning red hearts for God. Amen. Simple devotion. Do you remember the story in Luke 24? It's a great chapter to read. It says, Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us? They had just experienced some really rough times, these followers of Christ. And, you know, Jesus died, and then some said they saw him and that he resurrected, and they were on the road to Damascus. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is walking with them. And it goes a little farther, and they begin to eat together. And Jesus is there eating with them, and they're having fellowship, and their hearts are burning. And then all of a sudden, in a moment, Jesus is gone. He just disappears. He disappears, and the guys don't talk about the disappearance, but they talk about how their heart burned within us. You know why? Because they felt alive. You will feel more alive by letting God's word burn through you and have its way in you than ever before. They felt alive. That's why they were created. Then there's a scripture in John 6:68, another great chapter. It's when Jesus gave that message about his body and the blood, and everybody started leaving. And he asked the disciples, "So are you guys going to leave me too?" And Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Basically, Peter was saying, "Your words give me definition. Your words define who I am. I left everything to come after you. So let the word of God define who you are and give you definition." I love that. Simplistic devotion to Christ. And then the last thing I want to hit, I could go through a bunch of other scriptures. Let me see if I want to do. Well, you know, everyone knows Matthew 10, 38 and 39. It says, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me, he's not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Again, I can't say it enough. Life only makes sense when we're in the word of God. I want to encourage you this morning with that word, the presence of God's word. Oh, this is one I wanted to hit. I believe that we were created for his presence, but this is out of Job. And we've been praying for a dear friend that used to be in the house of prayer and kind of going through a rough time. And we've been praying for him and his family and asking for God to come in a powerful way. And he wrote a song that had these words in it. And every time I read this, I think of him and pray for him and know that he's going to make it. He's going to make it. He's going to come back to the Lord. This is what it says. It's in Job 37. It says, "At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with a majestic voice. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." God's voice wants to thunder in you and thunder through you. The last thing that I'm going to share is, when you're in the word of God, and I've said this already, but I want to hit it just one more time, hopelessness flees. When you're hopeless and you begin to get in the word and the presence of God has its way and the Holy Spirit is moving, all of a sudden you begin to rise up and God begins to affirm you through his word. And it doesn't matter what anybody said about you, what anybody said behind your back, no matter what you've done. Because God wants you to stand back into your place of who he's called you to be. And his word will affirm you and bring life to you. So I want to challenge all of you in this room that from this day forward, that the simplistic devotion of Jesus be allowed to have its way in your life. The simplistic devotion of God's word to have its way in your life. Amen? Why don't you stand? One of the things that I want to share is let's let the simplistic devotion of Jesus for 2015 redefine who we are if we're not there. In 2015, let the devotion that we have with Jesus redefine who we are. Amen? Amen. God loves all of you in a powerful way. Here's what we're going to do. I'm just going to pray, and anybody that needs physical healing, anybody that says, you know what, I want to just commit my life back to the Lord. Maybe some of you don't even know Jesus. I want you to come forward and we'll be able to pray with you and pray for you. And if you need a physical touch, we want you to come. And those of you that would like to pray in the healing teams, pastoral teams, prophetic, you know, that have been here, I want you to come forward. If 2015 is going to be a year that you're going to regain that place of devotion before God, and you know that's why you're here today, I want you to come forward. Don't underestimate the power of a simple, devoted life to God. I ask that God gives us a vision for that. Well, Lord Jesus, we come before you. Holy Spirit, we come before you. Father of glory, let today be a day of assurance, a day of hope, a day of promise, a day of freedom, a day of healing, a day of those that aren't confident become confident. For you are the deliverer, and you are our shepherd, and our hope is found in you. Our hope is found in you. You didn't come to condemn us, but to love us. Healing power of God, just move in this place. Move in this place. Let expectation begin to arise. Yes, God. I just want to call the pastors up. We're going to begin praying. Revive our hearts. Strengthen our hearts today. Yes, God. Let your word lead us, God. Let your word lead us into your presence. We pray for healing and wholeness. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. To pray. Pray for those to be healed up here.
My heart will trust in you.
Yes, God.
Though I walk through the valleys, I will fear no evil.
Power of your word, go forth.
By the waters, still my soul.
We call on your name, Jesus. Yeshua, we call on your name.
My heart will trust in you, Lord. My heart.